This is Shift Run Stop. It's a fun podcast about games and cultural stuff and comedy and interviews.
I mean, you were kind of coming up, you split them up anyway, you don't care what
no, it's very postmodern, isn't
it's
it?
Like, it's
we don't make it easy. We were saying earlier, we don't want to make it too easy for people.
Like Revolver.
They need to think about it.
They've got to
put the pieces
together. You've got to put
the
something
same
in.
Time, the only other helpful feedback I was offering was that it's at half the time I'm trying to work out who the guests are.
And I'm like,
and I know
all of them. You've been involved
heavily. But I like the idea that we start a clip with going, some other Russell Davis is online. And you go, oh, yes. Well, at least it's one of those.
Yeah.
That'll help.
That limits it. But the other two aren't going to show up, are they?
Is that better, Dave?
And you're rolling now. The only other thing that I was going to say, and obviously I'm not in this interview.
You will be in it now, though.
Well, yeah. You can. Do you mind? Have you ever thought of rebranding yourself as Russell Interesting Davis? Like Steve Interesting Davis?
No.
Off of Spitting Image?
No. Though that is your best joke, I think.
Ever.
Done it before.
Yeah. Yeah, every time we meet.
We've both heard it before.
I heard it before, but next time you two meet, I look forward to hearing it again.
Everyone hearing it again. Yes. We remember the first time we heard that
someone,
joke.
I was in a meeting, and someone gave me a really hard time. It was Tom Steinberg. Gave me a hard time for not changing my name. For saying it's confusing to people that you're called Russell Davis when there are other ones. Yeah. I know, I was a bit... back off. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
If anyone, I was actually christened Mark, and my parents, for some reason, started calling me Russell at a very young age.
Did you love crisps? I don't know, there must be a reason
for it. Has anyone called you Russell, Dave? But
Dave Walker's Green.
Yeah, yeah.
Golders, surely.
Golders.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
I'm really off mic here. This is amazing.
You're a long way off mic. Do you want to be on mic?
It sounds like I'm in a different room.
Yeah. We've got Karen Slavik, who is a blogger, and she's got a very funny blog called sleeptalkingman.blogspot.com. What's that about, Rue?
That's about her husband who talks in his sleep, and it's very sweary and very funny, and so we'll be getting her to read out some of her favourite bits of that.
It's brilliant.
There's a poll, and you can vote. You can vote for your favourite sleep talk phrase. So I have to say that stupid fucking fish cakes is massively in the lead right now.
I think I voted for stupid fucking fish cakes.
I think it has
a
about...
Nice phrase.
Yeah, it's got like 35% of the vote. And the real beauty of stupid fucking fish cakes, aside from the fact that it's winning the poll, is that this was a unique one because we were sitting in the living room, fully lit, sitting up on the couch, and I was Skyping with a friend in America, a very good friend of ours. But, you know, the friend and I were sort of facing each other on Skype, and Adam was sitting next to me, and I hadn't even realized he'd fallen asleep at any point. And so Russ and I are talking, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, stupid fucking fish cakes. So this one's great, because I actually had a witness for that one. So that was a special one. I'm on computers. I'm on the shortwave. I'm in the ether. Shake your tail at me. You're on the TV, talking down your neighbours.
I've got some sweets with me from South Africa.
Hooray!
Does anyone want to try them?
The Cadbury's Astros.
Candy and chocolate coated biscuit bites.
I'm going to pop those open. There's a...
Goodness me, that's a rather... Wow.
it
a chocolatey albatross on the back there.
A chocolate pigeon.
More than half of the back with an enormous chocolate bird.
I'm very pleased you got these. In my early snack spotting days, someone told me about these.
Oh.
I had a South African
mythical
correspondent who was going, oh yeah. Like, I can't do the accent.
it'd be like District 9, it'd be going, oh, who's this little fella? They've got that's Australian, isn't it?
They got blue ones.
I want a blue one.
Oh, are you sure?
Anyway, and the South African
wasabi, please.
Correspondent was adamant that, I don't know, South African Astros were better than other countries' Astros, so they exist in other countries.
Nobody else has got them.
Because they were made out of Bourneville rather than...
Well, I'm not tasting very much chocolate in these at all. They're like they're like Skittles, but with biscuit inside rather than chocolate.
What I like about them is their kind of watercolour matte colour effect. They're not that bright.
Yeah.
They have this kind of look that someone's just kind of painted over them with a brush.
With a child's watercolour set.
Yeah, they're very sort of pale and...
I think that might be natural colourings. If you look at Smarties, since they went to natural colourings.
I mean, do Smarties have blue now? Have they?
Oh, yeah, they don't. They had to find a natural.
A beetle that they crush.
You see, these are nice, I assume that all South African confectionery would be like this, because they melt in your mouth, not in your hand,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, they've got that transportability going on about them, haven't they? They're pretty...
They're not very filling, but they're quite nice.
Not very filling.
Just eat more.
DS has, but particularly the DS has been a big part of our family life. I would say there's only three of us and we've all got one. We're quite often at Pizza Express playing Animal Crossing.
Oh,
visiting
nice.
Each other's
all
villages,
visiting at the same time
on the DS. While brilliant. other children of other families kind of go, look at them. That's not fair.
How do they get to play that
on
the table?
We've got to talk to each other and stuff, and they're all just playing DS. But it's brilliant because it gives you something to talk about, and you, particularly with the younger kids, you don't have that much in common with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're going to talk about all day. Yeah. But if you're visiting each other's villages and chopping each other's orchards down,
and you can share fruit. You can. Oh, I'll give you seven pears if you give me some peaches.
Yes, exactly.
That's a great noise.
That's good.
That's handy, isn't it?
That's just
we're right next to the bottle bank.
That's Dave playing in some Foley.
Dave's been drinking again.
Yeah. I'm in computers. I'm in the mainframe. I'm in your headphones.
This I have is a bag of giant chewy Nerds. Now we'll all know Nerds, of course, from our childhoods. But,
and our adulthoods.
And indeed our recent adulthoods.
But we're talking about the edible Nerd. These are the Wonka Nerds, which
Wonka
were
nerds.
An early kind of Wonka.
Well, I believe they used to not be Wonka, and Wonka bought the...
Wonka's not Wonka's real.
I'm getting really confused here.
Willy Wonka bought
the rights to Nerds. I just
remember
a book.
No, who was Nerds originally? Was it like a weird little?
I'm actually not sure.
I don't think that Wonka Nerds were Wonka Nerds when I was little.
I think it was a stateside thing, wasn't it? Nerds.
Yeah.
It's not.
And
UK.
Dweebs.
Oh, right.
Nerds and Dweebs. They came over here.
Dweebs?
And then, same time.
He throws one thing in every podcast. It's completely made up.
Dweebs
doesn't sound.
I'll Google challenge you.
There is a thing called Dweebs, but I don't know if they're
the
UK.
Food stuff.
Mm. Right. I'm opening the Nerds. Much struggle to open them. So these are not just your normal size Nerds.
These are giant.
And again, for me, the most interesting thing about Nerds is often they come in like sort of brightly coloured, but complementary two flavour boxes. So you'd be able to sort of mix and match raspberry and rhubarb off the top of my head.
And they're quite strong flavours. They would kind of take your head off with sugar and flavour.
I've never seen Nerds.
So it's a very kind of dense, chewy, sticky middle, and then the outside is kind of a lumpen, a kind of shell that's like it's kind of defence mechanism to stop you eating it. It's so hard and crispy.
It's like kind of nature's natural defence, spiky and blue.
It's evolved.
Do not eat.
Not
it's evolved
it.
A shell.
Under any circumstances.
It really does say, good to know, Wonka Giant Chewy Nerds is a fat-free food. It's amazing.
It is, yes, it's made entirely of sugar.
Yes.
It's like... They're always putting up adverts saying, this tub of Müller Light has less fat than a bag of crisps. Yeah. So there's a bag of sugar. There's a kilogram of sugar. Why not tuck into that?
Do they come back to Earth for quite a lot of Moonraker?
Yeah, there's only a bit of it.
Yeah, it's not like the whole thing.
No.
It's like a big space station, isn't it?
It's some models, it's some space shuttles fighting each other.
Yeah, one eating the other.
Via, like, blue lines being drawn on the screen.
Nice.
That kind of, that special.
And then
effect,
there's a big fight, and everyone's got different colour boiler suits on. That's my kind of memory of
Moonraker. Well, is that in space?
Brilliant.
Yes, because that's the end of all Bond films.
Who's the villain?
Dr. Moon. Is it Moonraker, or is that the name of the... the world-ending weapon. It might. I can't remember. Mm. It's not one I've watched
obsessively.
Because the
only one I remember that is like the moon is Jaws with his gold teeth.
Yeah.
And he's,
yeah,
I remember him having a fight in a bit that looks like the moon, but I don't think he's wearing.
Well, he was under sea,
suit.
Wasn't he, in one of them?
Yeah. It's not on the moon, I'm just checking.
No, it's not
here.
On the moon, it's in space.
Moonraker is not set on the moon.
is any of it on the moon?
I'm
in
just
space.
Representing the listener here. It's coherent with anger. No point. Confusing me.
I think there's an Australian crunchy called something like the Violet Crumble, and the stories I could tell you. And not only is it like a giant crunchy, but people said the interesting thing about it is it has a very different texture to a crunchy. Whereas, like people know what normal crunchy is like. This is much more like that kind of like reservoir material that you stick flowers in.
Oasis.
If you want to keep them alive at a wedding or something.
I thought you were going to say it was more chewy or it had a softer scent of
it. More oasis-y.
Oh dear. Dry.
Just think about that today. You know Snakes and Ladders?
Yeah.
Presumably that can be tuned to be more negative or positive than...
You can make a very hard Snakes and Ladders.
But you don't see that on the box, do you? You don't buy Snakes and Ladders going, this is quite a positive, affirming version
of
Snakes
what level
ladders,
of Snakes
that,
and Ladders is
you
it?
You know, that only takes 5 minutes. Because I remember playing with Arthur. It'd take hours. I just couldn't work out if we just bought a particularly pessimistic, ladder-laden, snake-laden version of Snakes and Ladders.
I wonder if anyone's ever done that.
Estimated hours that
but there must
be people have mined them for...
Of Snakes and Ladders. There
That's brilliant.
You know,
percentage chance of reaching it within X rolls.
Yeah,
X
and then
rolls.
You'd go, right, here's one, it's just basically, one big ladder that goes all the way from the bottom row to the
from
top.
From the first seven numbers, you
like
can't miss.
5 minute version. Yeah, and then there's a really bleak kind of, Kafkaesque.
Well, there'd be a version in which you can never win.
Snakes
wouldn't
and Ladders.
The infinite version would be every single square is a ladder back. Oh, sorry,
I'll
a snake
you about
back,
that. Yeah. Snakes and Ladders. I'll tell you.
When I were a lad.
Yeah. I'm saving you.